Scripture reading this morning will be from Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I know it's great to be here on the Lord's Day, and I hope that that's how you feel about being here to worship God and hear His Scripture read and sing songs of praise. And our minister Jim Laws is not here. He's in Athens, Texas, beginning a gospel meeting, and we're glad that he's able to be there. And I'm glad to be able to have the opportunity be with you this morning. Brandon, thank you for leading songs, Walker for scripture reading, and all those that thus far have participated in our worship service. So I need to ask a question of you before I begin the sermon this morning, and the question is, can I be real with you? If so, nod your heads. I want to be able to be real this morning. I'm going to be real with myself, and I want to encourage all of us to be real with ourselves as we go through this sermon this morning. You know, it said, if it looks like, walks like, quacks like, it's a duck. So this morning I ask you, do you look like, walk like, talk like a Christian? Are you a Christian? Not what you say you are. Are you? Let's not deceive ourselves, okay? Let's not deceive ourselves is going to be one of my first points this morning. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If any among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. It's easy to deceive ourselves. Often we tell ourselves what we want to hear. We justify to ourselves what we do and put God's stamp of approval behind it. Those in Jeremiah's day did the same thing as well. Let's listen to what Jeremiah had to say about deceiving yourself. Jeremiah chapter 7, 7th chapter of Jeremiah. We're going to be beginning in verse 4, Jeremiah 7, 4. Do not trust in these deceptive words, saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on to do these abominations. So this morning I ask, are we crying out saying, this is the temple of the Lord, when it is not? When we are not the temple of the Lord? Do we cry that out in hopes that God will validate it? We cannot be hearers only of God's word. We have to put what we hear into practice. James 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, He's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. It's more than simply hearing. It is putting into practice what we hear. You know, we sit here 52 weeks out of the year and hear good sermons. We have a very capable minister in Jim Laws who preaches to us the Word of God, and we should be growing by it in spiritual maturity. But if all it does is come in here, roll around a few times, and go right out, and we don't put it into practice, we're guilty of what God is saying here, and we're deceiving ourselves, thinking we're going to be okay. So we can't deceive ourselves, number one, and we're going to get back to this point. Number two, we can't deceive our children. Parents, grandparents, we can't deceive our children. They're baloney testers. They're born with the ability to sniff out baloney. They won't follow fake Christianity. They will look to other sources to follow if they realize you're faking it. Who are your children imitating? Who are your children imitating? Chances are they're going to imitate you better than you can imitate yourself. So what are your children imitating? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Paul said that he wanted the Corinthian brethren to imitate him because why? He imitated Christ. Do you want your children to imitate you? I've got to ask you that question. I want you to be real with yourself this morning. Do you want your children to imitate you? You would. The question would be yes if you were imitating Christ. The answer is no if you are not. So we can't deceive our children. They're baloney testers. They're going to be who we instill in them to be on a daily basis. We cannot deceive God. We cannot deceive God. God knows not only our actions, but the intent of our hearts. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his deeds. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let's not forget that Christ is the embodiment of that word. God knows the intent of our heart. He knows our hearts in attitude during worship. Do we sing with our hearts as commanded, or do we sing at all? If we don't, it tells of our attitude towards God in worship. Because isn't it commanded? If it's commanded that we sing with our hearts, then two things have to be present: our hearts and our voice, with the right attitude. And if we're missing any of those things, can we be pleasing to God? Do we pray with our hearts in worship? When we have someone that leads us in prayer, do we earnestly pray with them? Do we pray as we commune with the Lord during our remembrance of His death, burial, and resurrection? Do we remember it? Do we truly memorialize it, or is it just another thing that we roll through on Sunday mornings? Do we put our heart and our soul and our mind into our worship? Because we can't deceive God. He will not be deceived. He knows us. Do we go out in our lives and make applications after we hear a good sermon? Do we slap the preacher on the back and say, "Man, that was a fantastic lesson"? And then that's as far as we get with our intentions with that lesson, is just to hear it and not do it. Because if we're doing it that way, we're deceiving ourselves, but we're not deceiving God's. Are we just getting our tickets punched, or are we truly here to worship God with everything we have? Are we trying to deceive God with our worship? Didn't work in the days of Jeremiah. He knows our hearts and our attitudes 365 days a year and 52 weeks of the year, and He knows it this morning. When you woke up this morning, were you fired up to come to worship? Or was it just another day that you had to roll out of bed and come and get your ticket punched? I hope that 100% of the people here this morning wanted to come to worship God this morning. That their hearts, their minds, their souls were engaged in wanting to worship God. John 4:23, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." He's seeking, looking for the person who wants to worship Him. Has He found it in you? Has He found it in me? He knows the service we render to the kingdom on a daily basis, or the lack thereof. Ecclesiastes 12:13 tells us the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. When He says this is the whole duty, it excludes everything else we do. Our service to God was our whole duty. When we have utilized our life for that purpose, then we've done everything that God wanted us to do in this life, was to serve Him, to keep His commandments. Jesus said in Luke 4:8, Jesus answered Him, "It is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve.'" He knows if we serve Him or others also. He's a jealous God. Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God in money. That's one aspect of it. But you can't serve God in anything else. If you're trying to fit God into your busy schedule, if you're trying to fit a Lord's Day worship into everything else you're doing, then you're serving two other things, or serving another thing other than God. And before long, if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, I can despise worshiping God. I can despise God for me having to cut out other things on Sunday so I can be here. It's cutting into my free time, cutting into my life. When all this life was meant to be, was to serve Him, to follow Him. Everything else was a lie that they told us. The only thing that matters in this life is serving God. Yes, we have to pay bills. Yes, we have to be a good citizen. That goes along with the Bible's teachings. But God must be at the epicenter of our lives, the only thing that truly matters. He knows how we're using our lives, if we're serving Him and Him alone. He knows our knowledge of His Word. We cannot deceive God here. When I wrote this down, I had to think about Nat Ayers. I'm not where I want to be yet. on God, the knowledge of God's Word. There are things that I learn daily that I never knew about God's Word. God knows your knowledge of His Word. 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and the day of eternity." God wanted us to continue to grow in the knowledge of His Word. But sometimes, once we've been baptized into Christ, that was the most knowledgeable day, and it never gained any from there. Are we growing? God knows. We cannot deceive Himself. We need to be real. Do we fear God enough to know His Word? Proverbs 1, verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Do we fear God enough to know God? You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about their salvation being based on faith alone, but they don't tie that faith to knowledge of hearing the Word of God. But our faith is increased in the knowledge of God's Word. Without the knowledge of God's Word, our faith would be empty and it would not save anyone. We're saved on our knowledge base, increasing our faith that we believe what we have learned about the Lord. That's what is the beginning of our salvation, that Word, that faith in God's Word. But you have to have a knowledge of it to be saved by it. There are no Shazammed saved people in this world. I was walking down the street, Shazam, the Lord saved me. He plucked me out. But I don't know a thing in the world about Him or His Word. It didn't happen. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's how faith is instilled in a person. We cannot have a hypocritical faith and be acceptable and pleasing to God. He will not be mocked. Galatians 6, 7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap." I believe in this passage. You know why I believe in this passage? Because I've reaped a lot of things that I sowed. And guess what? That little bitty seed you plant, it comes back to be a big old thing. And if you're sowing bad things, don't expect just a little bitty thing to come back after you. Because when you sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. It comes back larger. And that's both good and bad. So how are you sowing in your life? How am I sowing in my life? If you're sowing towards finances, how's it going to come back for you? If you're sowing for your extracurricular activities of your children, how's that going to come back for you? But if you're sowing day in, day out, the Word of God in their lives, how's that going to come back for you? God's not going to be mocked. He won't be mocked. What we sow spiritually is going to come back bigger, stronger than anything we can do on our own. Why wouldn't we utilize our life to sow to the good things, to sow to God? How are your children planted? Have you sown them into God so that they rise up into something great one day? That's where we need to be sowing. So how can we be? I talked about not deceiving ourselves, not deceiving our children, and not being deceptive to God. We need to be real about all those things. So how can we be faithful, genuine, real God-approved Christians? Look like a Christian. Walk like a Christian. Talk like a Christian. We should be ambassadors for Christ in all facets of our life, meaning we represent, as we walk through the day, Christ here on earth through us, through His Word, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. How has God's appeal came across through your life? God makes His appeal through us. Who do you appeal to? Have you made God's Word appealing to others? How are we doing at being ambassadors for Christ? We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's what Paul had to say here. Be ambassadors for Christ. If we live our lives every day trying our best to represent Christ to the world around us, to ourselves, that is a great start at not deceiving yourself. We can be real with ourselves. You know, nobody likes bad news. Why? Because it's bad. Nobody likes bad news. We don't like to face the bad things in life. I don't like to face the scales, the weight scales. It's bad. But we have to. We have to. I don't like going to the doctor, but I have to. Sometimes I'm forced to. But if I don't check up, if I don't get real with myself sometimes, I can let myself go to a miserable state. And so can everyone else here. We have to be real with ourselves. Matthew 5:29, how real does it get? If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. Now, I know this is figurative. I've heard a lot of preachers say it's figurative. Unless it's really your eye that causes you sin, I'd pluck it out. If it meant that I was going to go to hell for it. I mean, it's only as figurative as figurative is. If it's a real thing, I'd take care of the problem. It'd be far greater to do that than to go to hell for it. We need to realize what is causing us to sin, and we need to remove it. Figure out a way. Buffet yourself daily. Not buffet, buffet. Buffet yourself daily. Paul worried that after preaching to others, he too might fall. So that's why every day he was real with himself. He didn't let himself by with exceptions. Well, I could watch this show today. I know it's bad. I know it isn't what I should. I'll get better tomorrow. I know that I shouldn't talk that way, but I was in the heat of the moment in an argument. I heard a good sister one time. I heard a story. It was a long time ago about a brother that was cussing in an area that he shouldn't have been. Shouldn't have been cussing, period. And he said, well, you'll just have to excuse me. That's just the way I am. She said, I'm not going to excuse you. And you shouldn't say that. We shouldn't allow ourselves or anyone else, especially in the household of faith, to live a life that's unchecked. That's what we're here for. We need to play offense rather than only defense. You know, I'm ready to give an answer. If I'm asked at the worst case scenario, I'll give an answer. Have we thought about being proactive and talking to others about Christ? Just in conversation? It doesn't always have to revolve around the baptistry. Now, eventually we've got to get there. But simple conversations about Christ open the door to the baptistry. Open the door to Christ. Be proactive. Hold yourselves accountable without justifying your sins. We all do that. Well, I'm gonna do this day. I only do this on Saturdays. I only do this on the weekend. I only do this certain days of the week. We justify the things we want in this life. We can't do that. Where else can we go if we want to get real with ourselves? Find accountability with brother or sister in Christ who can be real with you. Do you have a brother and sister in Christ that can be real with you? I do. I've got a few of them. I can get real, and they can get real with me. You need that. You need a brother and sister in Christ that doesn't believe, like your sweet mama does, that you're the perfect thing that ever walked down the street. You know, mamas and daddies, we can't find fault in our babies sometimes, but other people can. Sometimes we can't find fault in ourselves. Why not be proactive and ask a brother or sister, do you see something in my life that I could change? Isn't that what we're here for? Isn't that why God gave us the family of Christ, to help each other get to heaven? We shouldn't be so offended if a brother or sister comes up to us and said, hey, can I talk to you? I love you and I care about you and I want to talk to you about something. If that offends you, then who has the wrong attitude there? The person that is trying to help a brother or sister, or the person that won't take any help? Which one has the wrong attitude? Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're to bear one another's burdens. That doesn't mean just unload all yours on somebody or bash them, but to bear them. How can I help you? How can I be there for you? How can I help you to be accountable? How can you help me to be accountable? We need that help. God wanted us to have an avenue to have help. We can be a real Christian parent to our children. We need this today, guys. It starts off with prioritizing our family's life around God rather than vice versa. Is it busy? Yes. If you're a parent and you don't feel sometimes overwhelmed with the responsibility of parenting, then maybe you're checked out or something. There's a great responsibility. It's tough. You're dealing with knotheads a lot of the time. Y'all young people can just nod your head. Yes. It's hard. You're trying to make a horse drink water that doesn't always want to drink. But they need the water. And so much more important, they need the water that Christ offers, the living water. That's the only water they really need. What if everything that we hold so dear of raising children doesn't matter to God in the least? What matters to God about your children is they love Him, they love His Son, and that their life is pointed to heaven. That's all that God ever wanted for you as a parent for your children. That's it. He didn't care what sport they ever played. He didn't care if they're Jose Canseco or not. He didn't care if they made straight A's in school or not. He didn't care if they went to a college or not. He didn't care if they were the prettiest kid that walked down into the classroom or the ugliest. And all y'all, your parents will say y'all are the prettiest ones that ever rolled through. But He does care whether or not your child's life revolves around Him. And if we instill anything else in our children than that, chances are they're not going to be with us in heaven. So, what do? You readjust. You turn around if necessary and start walking the other way. You do whatever you have to do. My children know that I can get as crazy as any person that's in this auditorium this morning about the love I have for my children. And I would crazily do whatever I had to do to show how important God is in their lives. I'd go to the ends of the earth to make sure they're with me in heaven. And sometimes that means being a real unpopular guy. With them, anyway. Sometimes it means that we say no. Sometimes it means we take a break from everything else that's cluttering our life and causing distraction from serving God. It means cutting out whatever it is that is necessary to get them to heaven. It means being as bold and courageous as I need to be to instill in them the importance of God and getting to heaven. For us older parents, maybe it's the courage of picking up a phone and saying, you know what, we haven't had this conversation in a while, but we're going to have it again and again and again because I love you too much to see you lost. Whatever it is, I know that every parent in here loves their children. Every person in here that is a parent loves their children. Love them by pointing them to Christ. That's the greatest way we can love them is showing them Christ, seeking His way. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't put God second, third, fourth, or fifth. Put Him first, put His worship first, put His service first, and then let the chips fall where they will on the rest of life. And I guarantee you, your children will still be successful. Because it's all that matters. Nothing else matters. Getting to heaven is what matters. Seek first the kingdom. Let the chips fall where they may after that. God's going to supply the abundance after that. We need to kick sinful temptations out of our children's lives. You know, I'm with young people all the time, and I mean, when I say that they're glued to phones, and mine are too. I mean, it's like it's their thumbs and fingers don't work if a phone's not in it. We need to kick some of that out, and for their own good. Because, yeah, there are great Bible apps, and there are great things they can search on Google about the Bible, but chances are that's not what all they're doing with it. We need to be observant. You may not have to kick it out, but we need to observe the things our children see and do, and it is harder all the time. There's probably a dozen different social media sites that our children can be on. And guess what? I don't know Adams off Ox from any of them. I don't know anything about them. So it's hard for me to get where my children go. But I better make an attempt at knowing where they're going. I better know what they're looking at. They better show me, or they lose those privileges. We have to, God has given us this one shot to get them to heaven, and there are a lot of things competing for their souls today. Let's get real with our children. Let's see our kids attack sin in their life. Let them see us attack sin in our life. It does no good for you to hide your children away and hope that they won't ever see anything ugly in this world. And I wrote an article, Bill and I talk a lot about this. I love the movie Jeremiah Johnson. You know, and you may have heard me talk about this, but it's a really good, I think, analogy. The Indians are coming to kill the whole family. And so what does Daddy do? He sends them off to the corn crib to hide. Guess what they're going to do to the children? They're going to slaughter them. And Jeremiah Johnson says, don't send them out to the corn crib. Put a gun in their hand. It does no good to hide your children away and hope that they won't ever see anything ugly in this life. The best thing you can do is load them up for bear. Load their guns. Teach them how to shoot. And I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. Load their guns with God's word. Talk about the Indians that are coming. Talk about the dangers in life. Don't shield them from it. They're coming anyway. And you're not always going to be there to protect them. Load them up. Be real with God, because on the day of judgment, God's going to be really real with you. I want to be real with God. God already knows. He knows our weaknesses. Sometimes we need to get down on our hands and knees and cry out to God. Because there's things in this life you just can't fix. Psalm 27:7, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Sometimes you can't fix your problem. And sometimes it's not God's will to fix your problem. But when we seek righteousness, we'll find what we seek. When we seek after righteousness, we'll find what we seek. That doesn't mean you're going to be rescued from every woe that comes into your life. And there's some bad woes out there. But God will be with you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? We're not going to get to heaven without being a real Christian. Scripture was read by Walker that not everyone that says to me, to the Lord, 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 is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And there are going to be many that cry out, we did all these wonderful things. And he said, I never knew you. So it's not so much, the importance is not so much that you think you know God. It is that for certain God knows you because you did his will on earth. I want to do God's will. I want to hear well done. I don't want to hear depart from me. Many will say they are Christians. Many will say I'm a real Christian, but they don't walk like, talk like, or look like a Christian. Well, we know if a duck isn't yellow, it doesn't waddle, and it doesn't quack, it isn't a duck. It's something else. This morning, if you're not satisfied with the way you've been representing Christ, we need to make those changes. I don't want to deceive myself and think I'm okay. If I'm not okay, and you know it as my brother and sister in Christ, do you want me to be deceived and to stand in judgment one day and say, I knew that, but I never talked to you about that. I never had the courage to help you. Let's help each other get to heaven. Let's not let others be deceived. That takes courage to stand up for the truth and speak the truth. In love, in gentleness. I don't want my children to see me as a fake Christian. Olivia and Lily and Philip, they know me better than all the rest of you do. Luann does too. And they know my weaknesses. And they know my hot buttons. And they know what will fire me up and get me mad. And they know when I've acted ungodly. They need to know that Daddy repents of those things. They need to see it. They need to see the proof of it. They need to hear it from my lips that I was wrong. And don't you be that way, because it would keep us out of heaven. Change. Repent. Don't be a fake Christian to your children. Be the real deal. Because if they imitate anybody, it's going to be you. And are you imitating Christ? Let's make sure our children get to heaven. Let's imitate Christ in our lives. When we make a mistake, let's beg their forgiveness. Let them see us rebuild and do better. But the one person, even if you deceive yourself, even if you deceived your children, the one person you're not ever going to deceive is God. He knows who you are, what you are, and what you're doing with your life. And he should be the one that you're the most concerned with about how you're living your life. I want to be accepted by God. It's all that truly matters. I hope that you do. Let us not deceive ourselves. Let us be real this morning. If you this morning need to make some real changes in your life to be a real Christian, make them. Do whatever it takes. Circle the wagons if you have to. Arm your children. Change your life so that they'll imitate you by imitating Christ. And be real with God, because He knows who you are. He loves you. He loved you enough, even in spite of your sins, to send His Son to die in your place. Question this morning is, how much do you love Him? Are you a real Christian? Only God and yourself know the answer to that. Are you? If you're not, you need to change. I need to change if I'm not. If you've never put on Christ, there's no question, you're not. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, if you're sitting there this morning, I ask you to be more real than you've ever been with yourself before, because you may not have another chance. Are you a Christian? Get real with yourself. You can become a Christian by putting him on in baptism. But if you are a faltered Christian, if you are a Christian in need of repentance, in need of restoration, do it. Become a real Christian today. Realer than you've ever been. Let's all get to heaven together. I want to look up on the day of judgment and see my real brothers and sisters in Christ, and to hear that we've all done well. If I can help you in any way whatsoever, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.